file a grievance filed against them. It's the same basic thing, and they're just, you know, they just want to lash out this last thing here, and they, you know, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I want to say. I'll let some other callers get in here before you get out of there.
Thank you, Skidmark.
All right, have a good night.
Bye-bye. Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
It seems not just too many years ago I was sitting in court.
This is call number 3 from David Silva, or is it call number 4? What's up,
David? I was sitting in court, and Skidmark Bob was there on trial for singing on Pacific Avenue. And there was this whole club of police officers, and the three council members, Hernandez, Kennedy, and Rotkin, were huddled with them and joking around. And the room was very much divided when Rotkin stood up and out of order, yelled to the judge, your Honor, that man," and pointing at Charlie Phillips, saying, "He is not an authorized representative of public television. You know, he should not be allowed in here." And poor Charlie, just flabbergasted by this, and the room just divided. I remember when the city councilmen didn't remember, weren't afraid at all to really side with the police and root and cheer for them.
Well, times have changed. Now they're kind of taking a more quiet role, but yeah. They seem to be, most of them still seem to be siding with the police, you know? That's what I'm noticing. I mean, for example, we have a situation where in the last 2 weeks, assaults on, what is it? I'm trying to count the number of people. 6 assaults a week ago Tuesday. You might call it 1 assault on 3 people yesterday, 2 days ago, another assault yesterday at the Metro, and not a word. Not a word in the Santa Cruz Sentinel whatsoever, not a word from the mayor, not a word from anybody in a position of public power on this issue, and it just, it boggles me, particularly when I see that there is no place, no safe zone for homeless people to go to.
Who is being protected there? I have a call coming in, I have to sign off.
You better go then.
Night.
It's on again, off again, David Silva calling in. You too can call in. 427-3772 is our call-in number. We were actually listening to an interview with, what was his name? DeBolt? Not DeBolt. Ed DeBolt. Thank you. Thank you, Becky. Before the recent rash of calls, and I'm going to play a little bit more of that. He, of course, was talking about problems with, I guess it was Officer Richards. Maybe I should set that up a little bit and kind of play back a bit so we actually don't miss too much of it. Let's play a little bit more of that. And if you call in, of course, we'll talk to you.
Well, that's a real pity.
Anything else you want to add?
You know, power to the people, man. I hope that these people in this demonstration against Kosovo do well.
And, of course, as usual, I'm behind the times and playing the wrong tape. That was Richard Quigley. I think we actually finished with the DeBolt interview. What I'm going to do now is... I'm going to pick up on a personal ticket I got. You may remember I've spoken about this in a previous show. If you've been down to Pacific Avenue, you're aware there's a statue of a man with a musical saw in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, Tom Scribner. And the base of that statue is flat, and it's often used for sitting by tourists, employees of the shops who eat their lunch there, folks just wandering by. Even council members reportedly have been photographed on the Scribner statue sitting. Well, as those of you who listen to the show regularly know, I was given a ticket for sitting there. I'm going to play the last bit of that ticketing process. It happened with Sergeant Sanders, so you can hear what happened. I was given a ticket for misconduct on public property. That is to say, sitting on the base of the statue was considered misconduct. And be aware that when I say sitting on the statue, I don't mean like sitting in the arms of Tom Scribner 6 feet up in the air or on his head 8 feet up. I mean sitting at the base of the statue. It's unfortunate I keep saying sitting on the statue in this tape, but that's what was happening. $162 fine for the crime of sitting on the statue of Tom Scribner, who is a labor leader who actually would have defended my right to sit on the statue. Steve Argue, of all people. Now, if anybody wants to join me and sit on this statue, wouldn't that be a bold move? think you're, however, in enough trouble as it is.
And what, this is Sergeant Sanders.
Yes.
Is it not?
It is.
He nodded in agreement with that.
Ticket for sitting on a statue, folks.
Okay, Robert, I need you to sign in the red square.
Well, I would, be going to jail if I didn't.
He wouldn't make his play. In the red square.
Right here. But on the other hand...
Signing this is not admitting guilt. It's promised to take care of this. You must take care of it in 30 days. It is your responsibility to do so.
No kidding.
Either by paying the fine or appearing.
Still got that going?
Yeah, still going.
Okay, Robert.
You have a good evening.
You have a good evening. You still got to get up.
I will be getting up shortly. As I said, I have to go off to a play.
You already paid $162 rent on that.
Otherwise, we've got a reason to likelihood to continue. You have to get up.
I'm willing to get up and within 5 minutes, as I told you.
Yeah, you have to get up now.
For sitting on the statue.
Yes.
It's not actually not sitting on a statue. He's sitting on a cement block,
that's
which is holding up a statue.
Part of the monument. Robert, are you going to get up? Or am I going to get a car?
Meanwhile, I wonder how many teenage boys are out drinking and driving.
I have to make a phone call. Well, let me tell you this, Sergeant. I will probably get up shortly, and like maybe even a minute or two.
Yeah, pretty soon, all my mind. Would you drive me a car down here?
But I should advise you that I may sit down again later this evening because I get tired. You know how it is.
You sit down on a monument and you refuse to get off, you'll get another ticket.
Well, that can happen, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
Is there a rational explanation for what's going on here?
Yeah. Ticket for sitting on a statue, folks. Check it out.
You are 10 feet away from a planter you can sit on. It's designed for people to sit on.
Well, I think it makes more of a statement to sit here.
Just
in the sense
that... I mean, the point is you're trying to make a statement.
Well,
you're not tired and want to sit down.
Actually, he was just trying to sit down here. I don't think he was trying to make a statement. He was getting a... He got a ticket for sitting here.
Ticket for sitting on a statue, folks.
$162 ticket.
Well,
yeah, not with Mr. Khan, and he's almost...
Norris. I usually go by the name Norris.
Also, the book store, supposedly, this guy's the one who made the sit-down laws.
Well, this law predates the Coonerty law, but it is still, I think, being... I think, too, this statute is customarily used to sit on, and therefore I think you'll lose your ticket in court. But I could be wrong.
You aren't totally right, and you've got the paper in the hand to take it to court and challenge it.
Now, I want to make a phone call.
Would anyone like 10 glossy photos.
Would anyone like to volunteer?
You want me to make a phone call?
Circles
and X's.
I'll be back. Don't go away. So we're here in front of the Tom Scribner statue. We see a tourist in a Scandia shirt.
Yes, I do see that.
Mm-hmm. As a young child standing on the statue, right. Talking to Dan Hopkins.
Yeah.
Dan?
Right. And I'm Dan Hopkins, and a man... first off, Robert just got a ticket for sitting on this cement pedestal that's under a statue of, what's his name, Tom?
Scribner.
Scribner, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the kid is up there standing up on the pedestal that Robert was sitting on, and he's admiring the statue and touching the statue, sort of admiring the man that's playing the saw in the statue. And the father was up, you know, holding him up there so he could see the statue.
It was a brief moment there on the statue, but
yeah, right.
I think we can agree that the statue is customarily used to sit on.
Oh, I've seen so many people sit on it. They admire the statue. They put flowers on it. I've seen a couple times where they put candles on the pedestal under the statue. You know, and there's plenty of room to sit actually in two parts of the pedestal,
right.
Two of the corners. Yeah, and. It's just one of the sit-down laws, and one thing I was really kind of, well, I better not say anymore.
That's fine. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
A quick update. It's about 8:10, and we're in front of Powell Stationery on Friday, September 7th. To Hawk. And Hawk, what's happened to you if you've gone through a trash can?
Basically, you get harassed, and if you don't, if you do it too often, they cite you for it, for aluminum cans.
You're talking about an ordinary, run-of-the-mill trash can, not some special recycling device put out by the city.
True.
That's very true. And has this happened to you recently? Have you been cited?
I haven't been cited yet, but I was told if I keep it up, I will be. I will be cited.
Anything else happening we should know about? Camping tickets, other instances of strange police behavior?
A lot of harassments.
For example?
On the camping.
Camping in the woods. The cops will come down with flashlights and tell us to leave and say we don't have a right to camp there.
And where are you? Within the city limits or outside?
We're outside of the city limits.
And are you talking about SCPD or deputies?
Santa Cruz PD.
Yeah, Santa Cruz PD.
And this is out of their jurisdiction.
And any particular officers that you want to mention who've done this?
Most of Santa Cruz PD does that.
So how many times would you say in the last couple of weeks this has happened to you?
More than 10.
And let's say in the last few days, has it happened to you?
Maybe 3 or 4 times in the last couple days. But as far as like in one week, the Santa Cruz PD will just constantly come up there and harass you and then threaten us. Well, if you don't,
Pack up your stuff, we will destroy your stuff. And then if we catch you up there again, we will cite you, take you in, and destroy your stuff.
When was the last time this happened?
I'd say 4 days ago.
And more or less, where were you, if you don't mind saying?
Up past Highway 9.
Up out of the city limits of Highway 9.
Okay, were you in Poganip or?
No, Poganip.
Past Poganip.
And what time of night was it?
About 12:15.
And what happened?
Three or four officers came up there, and one of them threatened my friend that was just here at Twitch. He threatened that if he didn't leave, that he would grab him and throw him physically out of the campsite.
There were three of you in the campsite?
There were four of us in the campsite. There were three officers.
And did they say that there had been a complaint?
No.
Did they give you a warning? This was a warning to leave, I guess. Because they didn't ticket you, right?
No.
So in essence, they were simply harassing.
Basically.
And did they know you? Did you know them, these particular officers?
No. None of us knew any of the officers. None of the officers knew us.
Did you point out to them that you were not within the city limits?
Yes, they knew this.
What did they say when you pointed
out? They totally said, well, don't. In their eyes, you were disrespecting them, and they said, well, don't talk back, don't disrespect, or else we have the right to arrest you.
What is your recollection? Who told them that they were not within the city limits?
When I told them they were not within the city limits, because we know about the camping ban within city limits.
Right.
They turned around and said, it doesn't matter, you can't camp here.
Did they give you a reason?
No reason at all.
Were you on private property?
No. We were in the National Forest lands, and we had a clean camp. No garbage visible, and we take our trash out with us.
And how long have you been a Santa Cruzan yourself, Howard?
30 years.
And your name is?
Lilith.
And Lilith, how long have you been here?
About 5.5 years.
And have you been pretty much outside or just recently?
I've been just recently outside.
I've basically been homeless and on the streets for the last 15 to 17 years.
Well, would you like to file complaints with the Citizens Police Review Board?
Yes, definitely. I think if we're camping outside of the city limits, there should be no reason for us to be harassed. If they supplied more resources for us, like more shelters or group homes for us to go to, then there wouldn't be this problem.
I would think would be certainly less acute. There's a meeting of the Homeless Issues Task Force on Monday at 5:30 in the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium, if you're interested in bringing that issue up. Plus, you can, of course, go to the CPRB, the Citizens Police Review Board, any morning between 9 and 1, Monday through Friday. So, be advised. Anything you want to add?
That's it for me for this time.
Mind if I put this in the street shit sheet as a...
Be glad to.
We're at the afternoon session of the City Council. It's about
4:30.
September 28th.
I got here late, but of course, sitting in his seat, second row from the front, was that inveterate council addict, Scott Graham, a.k.a. Neptune.
Well, actually, what happened, Robert, was the back row was taken, so I couldn't sit in my normal spot. But
you let yourself stand out in the second row.
Yeah. Well, I'm not in the range of the camera, though. So,
yeah, so you're keeping a low profile.
Yeah. But anyway, what the interesting thing that happened is that the during the consent agenda, Tim made a motion to pull. Well, he wanted to pull the minutes of the last meeting.
Councilmember Tim Fitzmaurice.
Right, and
Councilmember, so let them talk some other time. Fitzmaurice, who voted against extending oral communication last time.
Did he vote against it?
Yes, along with Byers, Rotkin, Hernandez, and Matthews.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
Actually, with having an oral communications period at the last.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, the special city council meeting about having. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the he pulled those minutes and then went right to the part where Steve Argue and James Costner were speaking and said that he wanted their names deleted from the list of speakers. Everything about them deleted from the comments because he didn't believe that they were speakers at that meeting.
They were certainly barred from the meeting later. Their mics were turned off. The cameras were turned down to the ground. Well, you say Michael Hernandez claimed he had heard their speeches at home on his cable TV.
Yeah, he was at home watching the show. I guess it was too much for him to stay through the whole meeting. He stormed out that meeting. He stormed out sometime in the afternoon session over something. I think it was police and schools. He didn't like the idea of not having armed cops in the school.
Well, you need to keep those kids in line somehow, right?
So he stormed out and went home and watched it on TV instead of doing his duty as an elected official and sitting through all this drudgery. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Mike Rockin, Councilmember Rockin, went ballistic, saying we should not reward these two for what they did at the last meeting. If we take them off the minutes, then that will allow them to speak at this next meeting.
Can you imagine?
The meeting tonight.
6 minutes for Costner and Argue. That sounds like torture for Michael Rotkin.
And Cynthia Matthews was also, so she didn't think that we should be rewarding their behavior from the last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone talk about censuring Byers' behavior?
No, I think maybe it was Rockin, said that he thought what she did was correct by adjourning the meeting. Mm-hmm. But he thought that
would have preferred an arrest or two.
No, well, he said he liked what she did.
She
handled the whole proceeding.
For those who don't know, Argue and Costner were, the minute they tried to speak, they were told they had spoken at the last meeting. In fact, they had spoken 6 weeks before, 3 meetings before, at the last regular meeting. But 2, quote, special meetings intervened since, plus a vacation period of a month, more or less, for the city council members in August. So, in fact, they felt that the mayor was lying, and they insisted on demanding their time. The mayor turned off the mics, barred them from the room, had the televisions turned to the floor, and generally held them up to scorn and obloquy, and then later let everybody speak anyway, so they could have been able to speak, even though they had spoken at the last meeting. To me, the whole thing was a pointless exercise in power, which I think I thought with the new city council was going to show it was concerned about process and not arbitrary power. But you know, I'm just naive.
Well, I also thought that the new majority ran on the idea of including the people and
the right people, the right people, or perhaps the right wing people in this right. case.
And you know, and it's just a matter of what takes precedence. Is it some stale old concept of how things should be in an orderly fashion, or sometimes, you know, I mean, the council itself will allow building projects at times that have either environmental or water or traffic consequences that can't be mitigated, and so they say there's a necessity for this project, and they cite overriding considerations. And I think, you know, the pressure that Steve was under that week, being on trial, he himself had some overriding considerations.
Well, I know that at the next special meeting of the City Council, that was last week, Councilmember Crone and Sugar tried to insert an oral communications period, and dear Tim Fitzmaurice and, of course, his leader, Catherine Byers, the Supreme Leader, voted against having an oral communications period. Crone cited the council member's green manual, which he claimed, if I understood him right, and I'm not entirely clear as to what he said, gave some kind of sanction to an oral communications period at every city council meeting, or made it ambiguous when allowed for the city council to provide for an oral communications period. Any reading on that?
Well, what it is my understanding is that it's up to the discretion of the mayor. The mayor can actually extend oral communications, I think, up to 15 minutes. Like at a regular meeting, if there's a half an hour oral communications, the mayor can extend it 15 minutes without even taking a vote of the council.
Can she initiate a period of oral communications?
But unfortunately, we can't extend this particular period of oral communications because...
Your time's up!
That's exactly true. Therefore, my response to that...
Step away from the mic, Mr. Norris.
...is this.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a cock-sucking, ass-licking Uncle Fucker. You're an Uncle Fucker, yes, it's true. Nobody fucks uncles quite like you.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're the one that fucked your uncle, Uncle Fucker. You don't eat or sleep or mow the lawn. You just fuck your uncle all day long.
What's going on here?
Okay, that's just about enough of that, Robert.
We're coming back on Sunday.
Yeah, I know.